When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back, baby. We are back, and we are ready to go to talk about this incredible 31-29 victory over the Minnesota Vikings on the road in Minnesota. The Lions take first place in the NFC, the first seed through the first 7 weeks of the season. Your Detroit Lions, they moved to 5-1 after a victory over Minnesota. And we're going to be breaking down everything about this incredible, really just fun game to watch. And before we do that, we have the whole Blue Kool-Aid crew here, like even the OG. But let me go around to everybody that's here. We got UJ.
Greetings and salutations.
Bob.
What's up, everybody?
Rud Dog.
Yo.
And then, hey, who's that guy? It's Connor.
Oh. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me back.
Welcome back to the pod, Connor.
Always a pleasure to be here, Big Z. Thanks for having me.
A fun one to talk about, no doubt. I want to start this off by I want to talk about Jared Goff in this game. I thought he had his best game of the year in this one. And that includes a game where he went 18 for 18 with 260 yards and multiple touchdowns against the Seahawks. I just thought he looked in complete command. This is the best defense, or a defense that's been giving riddles that quarterbacks can't solve throughout the entirety of this season, like the likes of C.J. Stroud, etc. Really struggling against this Vikings team, but Jared Goff and Ben Johnson in this offense was owning them.
Yeah, but he can run.
Oh yeah.
But so Bob, I'll throw it over to you. Just what do you think about Jared Goff's performance in this game and his command of this offense?
Oh yeah, it's all clicking now with Ben Johnson and Jared Goff and all the receivers, running backs. Goff is MVP level right now, and it's his trophy to lose at this point if he keeps playing like this. So
I told you in our predictions episode that he was 40-1. So like before the season, he's 40-1. He is down to 6-1 in the MVP odds now. He is the fourth lowest odds. It goes Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, then Jared Goff.
It's so weird. So, wow. Like, when we traded,
and I don't
for
even
him,
know why Mahomes is in the lead. He's actually had a terrible season. He's 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions on the year. But they're the only undefeated.
He keeps winning,
left.
Man.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It'd just be really bizarre if he won with kind of horrible stats. Jared Goff with 10 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the year. But I'll throw this over now to UJ. Just a little bit about Jared Goff in this game.
Okay. This is getting so much fun to watch this guy right now. And Z, you'll have all the stats, but he is doing otherworldly stats right now that no one's ever even seen before. I mean, this 18 touchdowns for our offense to 16 incompletions in the last 4 games. That's just mind-boggling to me. It's just mind-boggling.
It hasn't happened in the merger era.
Not to mention his quarterback rating in the last few games. I think him and Brady are the only people to ever do that stat, you know, so many 80% completions or something like that, and 140 rating or better in the last 3 or 4 games. Only Brady has done that. I can't remember the exact stat. You'll probably correct me on that. But Goff is so in command now. The play he had a lot of great plays in this game, but the one that got me was I think when he was under the heavy rush and that guy had his hand on his shoulder, almost ripped him down. And he just casually, in the most casually way, just stepped up into that pocket and hit Tim Patrick on a dime in tight coverage. He just threw it, just a perfect pass. And it was just such command. It's just so brilliant. So much fun to watch right now.
You know, that was when Jonathan Grenard came off the edge.
Yeah.
Hit him in the hand.
Yep.
Just missed the ball. But the hitting him on the hand, let him keep it, and kept nice and high and tight. So Jared Goff, against the blitz in this game, which when Jared Goff was signed by the Lions, one of the knocks on him was like, he's terrible under pressure, blah, blah. But under pressure this week, at the very least, 10 for 11, 164 yards and 2 touchdowns. And he's pressured on 51% of his dropbacks in this game. So he's under pressure a ton. That does include like the rest of his pressure numbers throughout the rest of the year as well, which has been elite. Jackie, is that what you, or Red Dog, sorry, is that what you've been saying? I know, I slept.
Weird names.
Who the hell's that?
I think that stat gets so overblown. You know who else is really bad with consistent pressure in their face? All quarterbacks in the NFL.
But I'm saying he's good.
I'm saying that whole stat's been overconflated, because if you actually look against the blitz, he's stellar. It's actually four-man rush pressure or less that he gets beat. But that's every quarterback. That's Tom Brady against the Giants in the Super Bowl, a top defensive line, get in your face. Anyway, I don't want to belabor the point, but Jared Goff, to my mind, is an elite quarterback. He's, I'm not going to go and say the GOAT, but a GOAT. That man is playing as good as any, quarterback all time. He's playing at all-time high level. He's elite. He processes, put him with Manning, put him with Brady. I know the accolades aren't there yet, but the way this is trending, this man is going to walk into the Hall of Fame breezy, easy. He's playing so damn good. And it's at a level that is sustainable, because it's just the way he plays. He's so steady, so rock steady and consistent, and his attitude is just stellar. You can't say enough good things. I feel like Dan Campbell. I'm glad he's on our team. He's so good.
Connor, what do you see out of Jared Goff this year that maybe we didn't see even last year, or definitely 2 years ago, but maybe it's Ben Johnson. I don't know. What is it?
I mean, I think he's continuing to step up in the pocket and be very confident there. I also think he's stretching the ball downfield a little bit more. That obviously comes with J-Mo's emergence, and our Irish receiver, Tim Patrick, has been a revelation too. I don't know, on that touchdown to Amon-Ra St. Brown, beautiful dot. But J-Mo, I don't know if you saw up the other side, it completely shredded his own guy. So he had his pick of the crop, and he went for the harder throw, and it was perfect. So I think he's just at an all-time high with his confidence. And I think Ben Johnson and him together, they don't think anyone can stop them. And I don't think they're going to face a harder defense than the Vikings, at least till the playoffs. So I thought this was an A-plus test for him.
Yeah, and I think this is another reason why it was just so great to get Ben Johnson back for another year, because him and Goff are just really on the same page with everything in terms of this offense. Just like, and there's so much creativity too that maybe you don't even catch when watching a game. But like on that touchdown pass to Amon-Ra, Tim Patrick motions out, then he motions back in, and he blocks Van Ginkle, who's like their defensive player of the year candidate on the Vikings. Just this interesting like wrinkle and protection that they definitely weren't expecting a wide receiver to block one of their edge rushers in Van Ginkle. And that allowed enough time for, yeah, you don't see like a wide receiver taking on an edge rusher too much in pass protection. So another, thumbs
what
up.
What other
for Tim
receiver
Patrick.
Would we? Yeah, we didn't have anyone hit that big.
Just little wrinkles like that. The constant use of, like, they were motioning, I think, J-Mo, like, all the way almost to the sideline. It was just like a diversion on a counter play. It didn't work, but, just the way the Lions are thinking constantly and trying to do things, even if it's fake punts on their own 30 again, backfired this time. Yeah.
Hey, I think he does it
was a high rate of success with those. It did not work out that time.
It seemed to go perfectly to play.
He did it on purpose. Remember that story that general made his guys burn the boats so they had to fight,
Yes,
I think he just did that on purpose. So if we fail on our own 30, good. Let's put our backs against the wall early, man. Why not? Who cares?
I felt the same way. Like it felt like you want to see how good we are. The Vikings are like crushing teams by jumping out to these lightning starts and making everyone fail to come back. We'll spot them a few, and then we'll show you what we got. And then we'll make it hard at the end, too, by giving you the lead again. A few seconds left. Or minutes left. No, I don't know. But, man, talk about just rolling with the punches this week.
Definitely. And, I mean, Jared Goff was almost on pace for 18 for 18 start again until the ball was tipped at the line on the one play to go for 18 for 18. But yeah. Either way, I mean, just complete command. There's only on both sides a total of 8 incompletions in this game. So even Sam Darnold on the other side had himself a pretty decent game as well. But sticking on the offensive side, another man that really stepped up because Monty, he got a little banged up early on. Just didn't quite look like himself after that. Just looked a little off. And Jahmyr Gibbs really stepped up in this game. And that touchdown run, the longest of his career, the 45-yarder that really sprung forward this offense, was Gibbs just an absolutely elite.
Oh, yeah. When he juked that guy on the outside, I forgot the player he juked, but once he
Cameron
did that
Bynum.
Move, man, he was gone. There was like no catching him back, man.
It was funny.
And that's
how,
why
like,
you
that
draft a guy like Gibbs that high.
So. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was for it. So,
yeah, he was also used late in the game to ice it too, to take the lead down the sideline, that little dump route.
Well, right. I don't know how he couldn't at that point. He looked like the better running back out there.
Oh, he
was obvious. I agree. He was the hot hand today. That was his breakout game. That was Jahmyr Gibbs' breakout game. His most complete performance, I think we've seen yet. He hasn't had very many like 100-yard rushings, let alone a home run hit like that, which was just. We've all been waiting for it. We knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time. And man, is it a beautiful thing to see.
He had 160 all purpose yards, 116 on the ground and 15 carries only, and then 44 yards receiving on 4 catches. So just
Monty did make a stellar play, though. The catch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He did. He did early on, yeah, for sure.
One handed catch.
Go stick.
He did have the fumble, which you rarely see out of him. That was a killer to see. I'm glad the team could rally around to make him, you know, not hang his head down after the game after that type of mistake late in the game.
He's buying everybody some coffee or something on Monday. He's probably maybe some cars. I don't know what they do, but they bailed him out.
And of course, a big shout out to Jake Bates, the game winning field goal. He got the game ball, one of the game balls in the locker room after. Just really cool to see. You know, this guy is like so untested really in his career. And he passed a big test right there for sure.
I know, Z, I've been waiting for, him to get an opportunity to kick a long field goal or a critical field goal. Mm-hmm. And, They've done a good job just kind of working him in. I mean, he's been making all his field goals, missed one extra point this year is all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is like the first like real clutch thing. And did you hear Campbell talking about how they practice with him and they're always like yelling at him and they're putting all kinds of pressure and noise.
I love it.
And he said he's just cool. He knows cucumber. So that's why they're so confident in him to make that kick. Because they weren't even playing for the touchdown. They were just trying to run the clock down. Right. And it was they could have gained some more yards. It was
Greg Olsen was throwing a fit because they... Where he's like, do the Lions even know they're down? I'm like, I think they know they're down.
Oh. I like Olsen, but I thought he had a bad game this game.
Yeah, he was like calling out things that weren't there sometimes.
Because
he always likes to, you know, like make you think like he sees everything on the field and reacting to it. But he was reacting to like he would circle something that wasn't there. I don't know. Yeah, he had Greg Olsen off game for him.
Not his best though.
The announcer had an off game.
That happens.
But, we brought up Tim Patrick's just been a really solid signing all around.
Rock solid.
But it was good to see Khalif Raymond have himself a little bit of a game here on offense, too. Yeah. He's been a little quiet with there's only so much left to go around every game, unfortunately. Like, Laporta has still been relatively quiet this year.
J-Mo didn't get a target today, I don't think.
He had one target. He had one target.
Laporta had a nice...
yards.
That's reverse or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Laporta, I just feel like there's so many mouths to feed on this offense. It's just
That's what it is.
I don't think he's playing any worse than last year. I mean, I regret trading up for him in fantasy, maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
but
it's
not because he's not the same player. I just think there's so many mouths to feed. No.
You know, sometimes it's dictated by the defense, though. I mean, he'll probably have games where he, you know, has 8-9 catches, but it's just not happened yet.
I just don't know. Like, I think like if you look at like these games Goff's putting together, this run offense is like, I'm sure games will look different. Maybe that'll happen. But like fantasy wise, we have too many handcuffs. All our players are canceling each other out and we are making explosive plays and like having really efficient drives. And our run game's so good that none of our receivers are getting a ton. Like J-Mo barely did anything and he's been tearing it up. Like you just look at Laporta. You hide him and then you hit him for a 52-yard touchdown pass. Like you don't even need him every game as a target. It's amazing what we got going on. We got a gluttony of targets right now.
A gluttony of targets. Gluttony.
A plethora, yeah, this, would you say?
I mean, it all starts up the middle, right? We have too. I mean, Zeitler didn't play in this game, but our backup right guard, he continues to play at a really good level as a fill-in right guard. So Lions have some good depth on the offside. Now, we haven't lost any of our tackles. If that was to happen, that'd be a certain test. But,
yeah. Oweseka had a rough start to the game. Yeah. He had a couple penalties.
Yeah, I was worried it was going to go, like, they were throwing a lot of penalties early on in this game. It's kind of getting a little ridiculous at one point. No, nobody likes to see that.
Yeah.
I was starting to wonder if it was like the Bills Jets refs from, I don't know if you guys watched the Monday night game last week with the Bills and Jets where they had 25 accepted penalties between the two teams. Nobody likes that. Like nobody likes watching football like that.
Nobody likes being subjected to the Jets every week too.
What a predictable season for them.
It's kind of like the Bears being in prime time every year when nobody wants to watch them play either.
So. Yeah. Well, at least they have a rookie quarterback.
Speaking of the O-line, I thought Decker had one of his worst games.
Yeah, this is rough.
Yeah.
Rough
not,
game
not
for
his best. I don't Greener know if he's injured or what.
Fits. Well, that Greener dude, he got blown up a few times. One of the best in the league right now, and I think he's a good player, and he was just hitting Greener. Decker with some good stuff.
Grenard. Really
it did
cause
the thought across my mind to like, do you do like a switching of ends there, like at some point in the not too distant future of Decker and Sewell? At Sewell, man, the blind side.
What? But, we still have one of the most powerful offenses in football. You want to switch things up?
No, I'm not saying right now. I'm talking about like next year or the year after.
God damn!
I don't think Decker's literally played there for what 8 years now. Like he's not going to just go to the right side.
Chicken is all I'm saying.
He'll like block the complete wrong direction because he'll think he's on the left side.
Anyway, it wasn't. No, that just wasn't one of his best performances.
They struggled against a good team. You know, I mean, it was a battle.
This is a good defense. This is a really good
battle.
Defense.
And you know, we lost a few reps in that one. So what? We in the end, like, we were the better team. So
that's where like Goff so valuable because he picked that defense apart. Like, and they talked, like Campbell talked about putting all that on his plate. Like, they gave him way more like checks and stuff at the line this week to like anticipate their fluidity. And like, man, talk about excelling.
UJ, I had a question for you or for all of you as a general. You're talking about how we're the better team. I felt that going in. Like, I thought we're on the road against an undefeated team, but I felt really confident in this game. And even when they were down in the game, I was figuring like, oh, they're going to win. I just don't know how. Like, it's just a different feeling with the Lions this year, you know, than it has been in the past.
I agree. Isn't it weird hearing the talking heads say we're good too? Because like, I mean, they really think we're good now. And but Ned, in our lifetimes, have we ever heard such talk? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah, no. And I don't even know if I'm believing what I'm hearing, you know, like, but I'm seeing it with my eyes. And yet this team, we're just better. We are a better team than probably almost anybody out there right now. We're deeper. Yeah. We're more committed. We have talent everywhere. I mean, even losing Hutch, you know, they filled in by committee a little bit, but you know, they did an admirable job, I thought, overall. So yeah, I mean, we got a good team, man. We're just loaded.
And you know what, UJ, like to go on top of that, it's not like the like qualifying talk that you used to get, like, oh, it's like the Lions, they're pretty good for the Lions. Like it's just we're just talking about a good team and it's the Lions and it's like accepted now and it's amazing.
They're a popular Super Bowl pick this year. I mean, they are the favorites to be the one seed in the NFC, and look like the best team in the NFC.
They do.
I think this was a statement game for that matter. Like, this was the game that told everybody, because I think the season goes in phases, and I think you're going to see a lot of teams flip in what they looked like in the first phases of the season here, where like the good teams will start to look bad and the bad teams will start to look good. But the Lions, I think, just showed everybody they're exactly who we thought they are, and they're just going to keep going steady Eddie and roll over everybody in their path.
Yeah, 7 weeks into the season, you kind of know who you are as a football team.
I feel like
at this point, and the Lions are elite.
Yeah, I feel like the NFC North is gonna cannot sustain its current level of overall success, though.
Someone's a pretender, well, probably.
The Bears keep playing 1-4, 1-5 teams. They can continue.
But, right.
The Vikings and Packers are both good, but the Bears, they gotta fall off at some point.
Yeah.
It's
I think the division, though.
Yeah, the Vikings are picked last to finish in this division, but they look legit. Like they're gonna be around probably.
No one anticipated Sam Darnold's emergence.
Yeah, I mean he had a good game. I thought
he
threw a lot of pretty nice like passes like where only his guy could catch it. Even like if they're tough catches at times, like
he had an easy first down.
The exception, of course, and the guy I want to bring up, my roar of the week, flipping it over to the other side, is Brian Branch. This guy is
stud
everywhere, and that includes an almost forced fumble that went for a touchdown.
Stud.
That I got so jacked up for that. After
so
disheartened to see those turned over. It was a right call, but just disheartening nonetheless.
Game of inches.
But man, he is just so instinctual out there. Everything you saw in like his draft film. And this is, I feel like I'm repeating what I said last week, but he's just like, how do we get this guy 44? Still amazes me.
Okay. I know.
Okay. A lot of people, all the draft scouts had high grades on him, yet he fell all the way to Lions. You know, it's
because
just,
he's slow,
but he's definitely playing at an all pro level, which we haven't had out of that position in a long, long time.
We have an answer to crossing routes for the first time I can recall. Like two crossing routes ending in interceptions in back to back weeks. That used to be like our kryptonite.
He made a really nice catch on that play too, man.
Really nice.
Pick.
Really nice.
The way he gets into phase with the route, like it's insane. He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so much fun to watch. He's a pretty humble guy too. It's just really fun to watch the secondary. Terrion Arnold was matched up a couple times. Jefferson, I thought he did pretty good out there as well. There's a deep pass where he locked him down pretty good. Jefferson is still, you can tell why he's the best receiver in football though. Yeah. That man just catches everything. And I forgot to. Well, now that I mentioned, I mean, Amon-Ra also catches everything. We did not mention him. He had a great game.
Yeah.
Eight catches, 112 yards. Eight catches on eight targets. So you know, whatever supposed whining or something he was doing at the end of that game last week. I think he's best game of the season. Yeah, he's. And it's podcast. He's like, "What is everybody talking about?"
I went back
to my bench.
his brother was on him. He was saying how he was definitely mad.
He's ranting to the team about something.
We were talking about that last week, though. Apparently, he ran over and threw the ball toward the Dallas bench or something.
Yeah, and got this. He got the flag. Remember?
And he got a flag for it. But they didn't show it on camera though. So
no, not at the time. I thought he was doing the Dallas Stars.
I thought he
over.
Like tossed them the ball. Like, here you go.
He did to the sideline.
Yeah.
Not to the refs. A little taunting. It's good.
Can't take a joke. Come on, guys.
But what do you guys think of this Lions defensive performance in this game? I think they really missed Hutch one weekend.
Of course they did.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I thought our pass rush outside of, here's our sacks. One by Rodrigo, one by Campbell, one by Nowoski again, and one by Pascal. The Pascal one looked like it was in slow motion, but he got it there.
Pascal's?
Yeah, he was unblocked off the edge.
The sacks are fine.
It's not like he had like a pass rush win. He was just unblocked off the edge and the good coverage.
He is playing
he still
good,
got it
though, but
you didn't let him out.
The pressures need to be up. I mean, the sack number was fine, but they're not getting nearly as many pressures as they were. With
Hutch, Connor, I agree with you.
He needs to be addressed.
There were too many plays where Darnold seemed to have a lot of time back there to survey the field more than we've seen lately. You know, when Hutch was in there. So.
Yeah,
slightly
and
concerned.
Go ahead. I know we were talking about this before. The Lions have inquired about Za'Darius Smith, who I've mentioned on this podcast before is like a possible target for the Lions. He's older. He's like 32, but, you know, ex-Vikings, ex-Packers, D-end, 4 sacks on the year this year. What kind of compensation would you guys be comfortable giving up for him? Because in this article as well, I believe it's on ESPN or I remember, like, Nowoski was thrown out there as a possible trade chip. I don't think the Lions get rid of him, though. I think they would do draft compensation, if anything.
I'd give him
draft. I like his trajectory too much.
What would you be comfortable giving up for the likes of Za'Darius Smith? A fourth rounder?
James Houston.
I'd give up a fourth rounder. Fourth
James rounder? Houston would be fine. He is a non-factor.
Yeah.
No.
Houston I feel much less strongly about. I agree. But a fourth rounder seems high for a 32-year-old.
Houston's Lions days feel like they're ending to me. Like, even if he stays.
I want a fire sale with Myles Garrett coming
over. Man, that's,
I like that much better.
That is not out of the realm of possibility.
The problem with that is there's a dead cap situation if they get rid of him for the Browns. And
The
way they restructured his contract. That would be amazing.
Well, maybe they can get some kind of deal where the Browns eat part of it. You know, the Browns make a lot of stupid choices anyway. I mean, they might be willing to eat
it. Yeah, that's part of the reason I think he might be available.
We'll give him a Hendon Hooker for Myles Garrett.
The head coach is probably really happy about that ACL injury. Like, he can finally start a different quarterback now.
Oh, my God.
Would you guys trade Hendon Hooker for Myles Garrett?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I would.
I love Hendon Hooker as a backup, but
I think it would actually be a smart trade for the Browns.
The Lions have that would take up.
Goff is too
good. You have to get really creative with the cap space situation with that one.
Right.
Not out of the realm of possibilities, but I
don't want to.
I don't see the Lions doing that type of trade personally. It doesn't seem like a trade they would do. They're not the Jets, you know.
Did you guys see the way Aaron Glenn was adjusting this week? Though they had to blitz a lot more,
right? Yeah, and that's
which is unusual for them. And I don't know if that's sustainable. So I'm hoping they add somebody. Probably not Myles Garrett, but somebody impactful.
They seem to be running almost more like a 3-4 at times this week. Like I looked like out there. So I mean, it could be these linebackers. They got some intriguing guys to step up. Nowaski and even Houston. I'm curious. I'm not ready to give up on Houston. I mean, he's certainly not impressing right now, but I like that he's just finally getting reps and staying healthy. Let's just start with that and see what he can do. I don't want exactly charity any bodies on our defensive line right now. Let's not go there to add people. We need bodies.
Yeah, I want to ask Connor something real quick because he's back on the pod. Famous Aaron Glenn. Get rid of the guy a couple years ago. But I just want to point out one thing that Glenn did, which I thought was amazing. It was a good move at the end of the game when they had they rushed nobody.
Yeah,
and then. And they had like 10 guys covering, so they were like just churning clock. And then he finally gets her the ball, and then the next play they send five, you know.
Yeah,
so they're like giving him no time.
Have you ever seen? Go ahead.
I was just saying on the final play of the game, I don't get why they don't always blitz. Just don't even give him time to make the throw. But like, it was nice to see that bullshit 1 second they put back on the clock. Yeah. We were all thinking it, right? Like, bullshit. Oh my God.
Well, how about this, though? This is what, like, you can have a penalty in offense and then there's no runoff?
Because they got to the line or some shit? Like, that was
something weird.
That seems like a loophole.
But, Connor,
that
you're back on the pod. I just want to hear your Aaron Glenn, if you've evolved your thinking on Aaron Glenn.
I was at work, on my lunch break a few weeks ago, and I heard my name slandered in regards to my previous Aaron Glenn takes. I just want to be on record.
What, that he should be fired?
Big Z. I just want to be on record that I was wrong, and even last year I was in support of Glenn. How often do I have to say this? I think
we'll just never let it go. You know,
he's got the personnel. You know, I'm happy for him. I think he might be a head coach next year. But hey, you know, he's doing what
some things never get let go on this pod.
That's true. But I'm happy with Glenn so far. Hopefully, they can figure out this pass rush, which isn't totally his fault. They've lost a bunch of linemen, but. I'm happy with him.
He's
got an A so far this year.
We'll forget you said that by the next pod.
Two pods from now will be brought back up, I'm sure.
I just think, I think the Lions had to get a little more creative this week until they figure out what to do with missing Hutch. I do think they trade for somebody here. I don't know if it's Za'Darius Smith or another maybe veteran player on a... If you want to know the Lions 2025 draft capital, I have it up right here. They have a first, a second, no third, who they gave up for Giovanni Manu. They gave up third rounder. They have 1 4th rounder, a 5th rounder, a 6th, and 2 7ths. So, not a ton to work with there, a little bit to work with.
Yeah.
But
I'd be okay
with what you got to do to win a Super Bowl.
if we had like a really good player we could get, I'd be okay with giving up a first rounder, but I know some people in the media are like, let's give up three first rounders just to land.
They'll never do that. Brad Holmes is too good at drafting to give up three first rounders.
Yeah.
I think they're going to see classic Brad Holmes here. I think all the home run hits are going to be ignored, and you're going to see him find some guy no one occurred that could be a level of an upgrade that just helps platoon the cover for Hutch's loss. I just don't see the big one. Awesome if it was a Garrett or a Crosby. But like for one, we just have too many like foundational players already, and those guys are foundational players. Like,
do you think they
see the math?
Do you think they trade for any sort of Sam linebacker type role? With I don't know how long Derek Barnes.
No,
is
I think
be out.
I think the emergence of Nowoski is kind of.
Do you think they're just going to stick with Nowoski? Okay,
I'm kind of with that
right now. Yeah,
I do.
They did inquire to Hassan Reddick, but he got re-signed. So I don't. Yeah, I could see it though. Like that's another way. Like they might add not like a pure edge, but like another linebacker they could throw as like a rush linebacker type. I wouldn't be surprised if that's because I do think it's going to be a name we're not necessarily highlighting at the top of our list.
Well, right, yeah. And Za'Darius Smith, another reason people are inquiring about him, he's like I think $1.7 million against the cap. It's pretty cheap.
Would you trade a fourth rounder for him? Because that seems high for a 32-year-old
guy. Well, sounds like there might be a slight bidding war for him. So,
really?
Yeah, I'd trade a fourth rounder.
It wasn't just the Lions inquiring. It was like the Eagles, the Commanders. I think there's one other team that I can recall time ahead. But there's multiple teams inquiring about him. Clearly, the Browns are going nowhere this year.
Yeah.
So they probably want to trade him before the deadline, before they lose him for nothing in a lost season.
Is this his contract year for Garrett?
No.
He just signed a big one. So he's till 2027, he is locked up. So
he'd be very expensive.
Honestly, though, like if you get a Myles Garrett for the next three first round. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you're not going to want to pay those first rounders anyway. You got Myles Garrett on a mega contract. It could just be like one of those. I don't know, man. You got him and Hutch, him and Myles Garrett and Aiden Hutchinson.
I mean, that just be ludicrous.
Super Bowl favorites every year until like they die.
That's why I'm like inquire, man. Just see what
you gotta.
That doesn't include like Alim McNeil up the middle.
Oh my god, he's locked up.
Be insanely good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You got Jack Campbell behind that line.
Can't hurt to ask, you know, just like sliding into the DMs, you know.
I think Campbell's coming more into his own this year, too, I just want to say.
Yes.
He had a really good game, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
Last year, I think you could say he lost a little bit at times, just not like reading fast enough. And that just comes with time, of course, especially the linebacker's position in the NFL. But, I think he's emerging more and more every week that he's out there.
And see, I think, you know, like, I think he was one of the guys, Branch was one of them, but I think there were a couple of guys that visually, I just felt like were really, like, answering the Aiden Hutchinson call, like, the absence. Like, I thought Branch looked like he was a man on another level trying to, like, be a leader, and so did Campbell. He was just flying around in that front seven, just an enforcer in the run game. Like, he looked really good, in my opinion. Like, other than that one time he let, what's his name, get away for that long run on his blitz. But
Aaron Jones.
Darnold.
Darnold.
Quarterback run. Darnold got.
You're right. That was a very bad blitz by Campbell. Very bad blitz.
He let Jones divert him. That was not a good blitz.
Yeah, you just kind of let it happen. I don't know what was going through his head on that play. I'd like to know.
But other than that, like, he just looks like he's not flashy, but he's like a force inside on the run and stuff. He's always like ending plays wherever he's at. The running back doesn't go much further. It's like he's just like such a sure presence in there, that massive flying around frame.
Yeah, and a shout out to our run defense again. Aside from that one touchdown run where we lost the edge on that one, we basically shut their run game down again. And the linebacker play was really good. Rodrigo, I think, stood out in that game. I thought he had an excellent game.
Yep, seven
Campbell had an excellent game. I mean, this defense is scrappy. They're willing. They're swarming. You know, they may not be perfect, but man, like Red Dog was saying earlier, we're covering crossing patterns now better than we ever have in there. I can remember. I mean,
turning into interception.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We're a pretty good defense. They talk about complimentary football, and right now I think our defense is complimenting the offense. So,
speaking of Rodrigo, UJ, I think we were talking about this before. Would you guys trade Rodrigo for Max Crosby?
I think everyone but you would say yes, Red Dog.
I mean, the Raiders wouldn't do that.
No,
yeah, so. Raiders wouldn't.
I mean, if he was just a part of the deal.
I guess it depends on everything we're giving up.
Yeah.
Let's just say everything else works. You would send Rodrigo to Las Vegas?
A first in Rodrigo? It's not going to happen. I don't think he'd be included regardless. So
I don't think Dan Campbell would. I just don't think Dan Campbell really would operate as trading one of their producing pieces like that. I just don't think he sees these guys like commodities to be bartered. I think he believes the guys he's chosen are his guys, and they'll keep coaching him up and make it figure it out. Like, I just don't think we would trade away a core guy like that.
I think to an extent, you're right. I think he does believe in his guys. But at some point, it's a business, man. And if you can improve your team,
they would trade someone if they need to.
You're going to do it.
Someone.
If they can get better, they're going to do it. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Having said that, I don't think he will be. We will be trading for Max Crosby. So
No. I don't think anyone.
No, I agree.
Be nice.
We trade Aiden Hutchinson for Max. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that would be dumb.
At least he's healthy.
Yeah, I think we should send Max Crosby a Lions hat. Like, they were talking about him. He's going around wearing Lions hats. We should send him one.
We should send him a live lion.
Well,
I think he'd get the message. He would want.
What is that, Ricky Bobby training method?
Right.
You're doing
there? Yeah.
I don't know if it's in the budget, but we could try.
I don't know. Why not? Let's send him a hat. Wear practice.
Simba.
Yeah. Well, he's from Michigan, guys, so it's
I know.
He's unaware.
Honestly, you guys all think they'll make some kind of move, whether it's a big splash or not.
I do.
I think they're going to
trade for someone.
I don't know what it is, but
they need bodies in that room. They're running out of options.
Yeah.
Well,
if he will be coming back later this season at some point, I think.
What about Roderick Martin?
A blitz. Huh?
Roderick Martin. He's coming back too.
Yeah, but he's not really.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider him an impactful piece, to be honest. So. No.
Not yet.
I'm glad DJ Reader is staying healthy. I will say that.
Oh, what about Kamish? Yeah. Isn't Kamish coming back late?
Probably not.
Oh, I thought he had a late.
Yeah, he does, but he could come back if he's healthy. But I don't think he's. I think his injury is pretty much.
I think it's unlikely.
Though I do like what I saw at Uku. I thought he battled in there. I mean, he's not, you know, getting off for sacks yet, but I think he looks sets an edge well, and he looks active in pass rush, if not super effective just yet. There's some intriguing guys still on this roster, so I don't feel. I think Dan Campbell even doesn't feel like an immense pressure. He even said it's just a little bit more pass rush, and I'm not even sure he intends that as a to look external, but just maybe more like a coaching thing. He didn't make it clear, as you might expect, but. You know, I don't think they're feeling the pressure like maybe some fans are.
Not yet.
Did you see Chris Christie was like hating on Dan Campbell for like running the trick plays and stuff?
He's an
idiot.
I'm going to think of a better person to not give a shit about what he said.
Dan Campbell had a great reply, though.
That's what I saw today. I didn't even know Chris Christie said this statement until
last time someone called me classless. I was drinking wine straight out of the bottle or something along those lines.
Yeah.
It's like, last time I sat down to have a bottle of wine.
Perfect.
I think it was the line.
Look, Chris, if you can
he said drinking out of the bottle.
Up downs.
Drinking out of the bottle. Okay.
Yeah.
It was something about drinking.
If Chris Christie could do the up downs with the team, then I'll care what he has to say.
Yeah.
No, he'd be on the ATV like Matt Patricia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if the tires would hold the pressure.
These special jumbo tires. Yeah, we're fat shaming. What?
Yeah.
Whoa, I just said he was going to be on the ATV.
Yeah, I'm fat. It's okay. I can stay.
I'm kidding.
It's just politicians need to shut up more. That's all.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is just... A great game overall from both sides of the ball. But really, I mean, I think this is the fourth game in a row against Brian Flores and the Vikings that the Lions have scored 30 points. They just have their number offensively. It's always vaunted as like a high-profile defense, and then Goff just goes in there and shreds them. It's great. So
you know, this defensive performance is underrated too by the score, because they didn't give up 29 points on defense. That was a 21 point performance, right? Like, or that was
right, and then another short field at the after the fake punt.
Yeah,
so,
actually,
right.
We did put the defense in some bad spots. That's a great point, Red Dog.
But Campbell doesn't care about this defense. That's the beauty of this team.
It's yeah, they got to respond in those.
It's the beauty of Campbell, though, too. He's so much trust in these guys. Hey, if we don't make the fake punt, so what? Defense will step up. These guys, he trusts these guys to step up and do it. You know, and
they respond to that too. I think even exactly. if it doesn't work, they still love the effort to go for it.
They like, relish they still, it. Yeah, they relish.
Yeah, absolutely.
This defense absolutely. Don't care where they get put on the field. They're gonna go do their job.
The defense is yeah, probably need, telling
let
Campbell
Jack Fox
they...
throw. Let Jack Fox throw some more on these fake yeah. punts. The man is.
I want to see Jack Fox do that underhand fake punt where they look like they punted, but he throws like underhand like rugby throw.
Oh yeah.
Maybe we can just start him week 18 if we've already wrapped up the one seed. We can just throw Jack Fox.
How fun would that be?
That would be fun.
The trick plays are fun, though. I hope they go back to Penei Sewell again, try to get him the touchdown. Yeah,
he's going to get the winning touchdown in the
coming,
Super Bowl.
Bob.
I can
it's
feel
coming.
It.
That would be sick. That would be amazing. I could see them doing something like that in the Super Bowl, though, too.
Absolutely. Oh, sure. In the Super Bowl, absolutely. They will throw out every stop possible.
On Gibbs' second touchdown, his block was ridiculous.
Hey, did anybody watch that second touchdown by Gibbs? He's running up the middle, and Harrison Smith, is literally
he's looking at Amon-Ra
facing back. Gibbs ran right behind his back.
Yep.
Harrison Smith was facing the other way, and Gibbs ran right behind. Harrison Smith didn't even see him because he was paying attention to the receiver. It's just really funny if you look at the replay. It's hilarious. And here's one of the best safeties in the game, and just literally facing the wrong way.
Tells you how fast Ja hits the hole, though, man. He was already on him.
Well, how fast he hits the hole, but also the way the Lions like designed the play calls and just the diversion, the motion.
It was St. Brown. Of course, he's going to be paying attention. He was covering. Well,
right, right. And Ben Johnson. They had like an iffy start to the season, but you could consider that the preseason in a lot of ways. But it's clicking right now, that's for sure.
Hey, coordinator-wise, too, like Brian Branch talked about that coverage play, and that was dialed up by AG. Like, AG dialed up that coverage against the play call. Yeah. Like, it was a perfect play call for the interception. Like Branch obviously has the instincts and awareness to execute it, but AG's putting them in the position. And the secondary clearly carried the front this week. I mean, that I think that was like showed just how much talent we have back there now.
Oh yeah.
A couple better. Yeah, so a couple notes. I know we talked about Decker. He didn't have a great game, and Monty had an up and down game. As far as Campbell, there was a couple things small things I questioned in this game from him game management wise. First of all, at the end of the game, I was kind of agreeing with Greg Olson. Why wouldn't you try to kick it? Why wouldn't you have them try to return the kick instead of kicking it through the end zone? I didn't agree with that.
I thought about
personally.
That. Yeah, I agree.
Because that takes at least 4 seconds off the clock, and this Vikings kicker has shown he has a monster leg. He could probably make it from 70 yards. But he has an elite leg. He's one of the better kickers in the league, and basically it would have taken like just one good play to Justin Jefferson over the middle and you're in field goal range already. I did not love the decision, especially because you get the ball to 35 now. It's not like you get it at the 20.
Right.
I like it.
Showed a lack of faith in special teams.
No.
Nah.
I don't know.
It worked
I don't
out.
Know if that's serious. Yeah.
Like, you don't know what happens. Like, sure, you're right. It's kind of not trusting, but this is a weird new kickoff system. We had a long one return on us last week. Like, I like the idea that you kick them deep, and then what they did exactly was perfect. Give them that long, unpressured play to just eat the clock and then blitz them. It was excellently executed. I actually just, my question was,
they kind of screwed
up.
They
just didn't
throw a screen or something. But
I didn't think they executed the eating of the clock to perfection. I think they could have left less time. They kneeled what, two or three times? They could have ran one more play that ate a little more time instead of kneeling, and that would have given them no time left. I thought that would have been a little better. But as they did it, I thought it was fine.
And Z, don't they get it at the 30? Not the 35, is it?
Yeah, 30.
The 30.
Sorry, right, yeah, yeah. You're right. Either way, like, yeah. It's only 20 yards they need. And
it feels kind of nitpicky.
I say it's more likely they get 20 yards to kick a field goal than return a touchdown on a kickoff.
Yeah.
Like, especially the way the stats are with the kickoff this year. It's like,
but you remember, no timeouts.
Impossible. Not
well,
impossible,
he didn't need a touchdown.
Almost impossible.
He could have broken it to like the 40. Yeah. They would have had like eight
and
or seven
no timeouts
seconds.
Either.
I don't know. I disagree still.
Well, Z, I was with you on that. When I was watching the game, I was with you on that. Your opinion. I wanted him to squib a kick or something to make him run it. And eat some time off the clock. And they didn't do it. And it worked out. But I'm agreeing with you on this one.
I want to hear what Bob has to say.
I just think they do what they do. I mean, that's what they like to kick it out. And that's, I mean, they put a couple real short, but I don't. Why mess around at that point and risk it?
I thought the fake punt was more egregious than
that's
the,
our argument for anybody who doubts the Lions. We do what we do. That's it.
Well, I mean,
do what we do.
I didn't mind the fake punt because it was early in the game, so even a mistake there.
I just felt like they didn't even have a good read.
They had plenty of time.
Play, but maybe I'm wrong.
Jalen Reeves, maybe. Yeah, as somebody was talking on the radio, they're like, I wonder if he had the ability to change it at the line there and call it to himself.
I don't know how
those calls come in on the fake.
Campbell said they got the look, so it wasn't audibled out, and then they just missed a few pieces of execution. He thinks they might have had it if they just executed a little better.
It seemed like the Vikings were all over that from the get-go.
Criticism of Campbell, though, that he didn't squib the kick. I mean, that's pretty minor.
He did say minute or small. I think like minute, microscopic.
How can you criticize Campbell?
Silly.
You look at that locker room celebration. Those guys play for that guy, man. They play as much for that guy as they do for themselves or they do for anything, man.
I pod Campbell, for that guy.
Holy shit. I mean, that guy's just, I don't know. I don't know if it's luck or kismet or fate or whatever, how we got Cam on this team, but God damn it. It's just awesome. We're so blessed to have this guy as our head coach.
So the whole thing's worked out so nicely. Brad Holmes and him, they were hired separately, right? But there's simpatico right away. Right.
They just clicked.
They see the game the same.
It just clicked.
And the coordinators.
Suddenly we're like one of the most respected organizations in the league. Like those athletic polls and stuff, like Brad Holmes is like top 8, top 5.
Yeah.
It's like so crazy to see.
Like, and that's why whenever we come with this, Connor, it's like you gotta go to the top. It's Sheila, baby. Like what? Like, come on, man. Like, what does she do? She came in, took this thing over, went to Spielman. Like, great choice as picking a consultant, like right away. And then like hiring Brad, listening to him, and hiring Dan, and like, it's just like, oh man, she's done nothing short of like an absolutely stellar, out of this world job, taking over her father's organization and running it better than he ever dreamed of. It's just, she's killing it.
So, you guys, I have some breaking news actually on the podcast here for Lions. It's not good news. Lions wide. This is from Adam Schefter. It's legit, Jackie. But it's a real Adam Schefter. Jameson Williams is looking at a 2-game suspension for violating NFL's performance enhancing substance policy.
What?
What?
Oh no.
Oh, Jesus.
2-game suspension.
Skinny.
Yeah, right.
That's so weird.
So that would mean, James, you know,
what does that mean?
So the Lions' next 2 games here are the Titans and then at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Titans is fine, but the Green Bay one would be killer.
2 games? I mean, that's not the end of the world, but what the fuck, J-Mo? Sorry, French people. I mean, excuse my French people.
If he appeals it, sometimes that gives them a week, but that would mean Packers and Texans. So if I was going to just take it now. Usually, they don't overturn these things. So
the hell, J-Mo? Man, you've just been like, dude, it's so good.
He was looking pretty jacked, though. I mean,
well, yeah. I'm out on JMO, guys. got him. Trade him. Hey, trade him for Myles Garrett.
Well, The Laporta fantasy owners might applaud that. Maybe he'll get a look or two more.
And the Amon-Ra ones, for that matter. Like, and like, oh my gosh, oh, I'm so disappointed right now.
That
that's
is disappointing.
True.
Very disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, is this like, I mean, he these guys some, take like, so poppy many... seed like buns and like got,
how do you
like,
fail that?
Oh, or,
like... That's so annoying.
So yeah, on, Jameson Williams comment. Eric Woodyard is the reporter on this. Jameson Williams is disappointed with the current suspension, but says he has no choice but to take it on the chin. I'm in good spirits, just ready to get back with my brothers as soon as possible. Well, good news is that.
What does that mean?
Good news is that he is used to this being away from the facility during the season.
Yeah.
So it won't be unfamiliar territory.
He's prepared for it.
God damn it.
I want to know what
for the Packers game is brutal.
Hey, they do such strict testing, though. Maybe, I mean, a lot of these guys, they take something, they don't realize something is in there. They're just doing what somebody, like one of their personal trainers told them to do. Or like these guys have outside trainers outside of the Lions. I mean, the Lions try to monitor all that, but I don't know this. I don't know. I'm just guessing maybe what happened.
Just you're still responsible for it.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Right.
You're hiring these guys.
Yeah, before you put your body, go to the trainer of the Lions and ask.
Exactly.
Detroit versus everybody. J-Mo's innocent.
Yeah, maybe it was like something in a Coney dog or something.
he went to Lafayette.
You never know what's in those. You never know what's in those dogs. So
you don't know. No one knows. No one knows what's in those.
That'd be crazy if they had roids in the Lafayette Coneys.
Oh my god.
Oh man. The thing, you know, but we're misses receiving, but man, he's an excellent downfield blocker. I mean, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right.
That's. I think we're gonna miss that more than his receiving, to be honest with you.
Like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, that's a killer, especially with the Packers. But it looks like he's taking it now. So we will not have JMO for the Titans or the Packers game.
I'm less concerned about like the outcomes of the next two games, and I'm just so utterly disappointed that JMO's back in this freaking spot again. Like, come on, man! I thought we grew past this. I hope it's something.
Yeah, self-inflicted. Self-inflicted.
The first one won't be bad. I mean, we're 11.5 point favorites, I think, coming into this next game.
Our first trap game on the schedule.
Connor and I will be there. We're going.
All right.
Sure. Nice.
Good.
Nice.
I'm kind of toying with that Lambo game.
Connor, take over the spot for J-Mo. You're in.
Yeah, you were a runner back in the day. You can run.
Strap up. Cross country is coming back to serve you well.
I'll get in there. Yeah,
for sure.
Just a two game.
He won't be good on the short routes. He's just got to run the long routes.
Yeah,
lethal I am on distance.
Distance runner. Mm-hmm.
The cornerback will be exhausted by the time.
I am undefeated at Lambeau. Birds. I'm 2-0 lifetime watching the Lions.
That's right.
Lambeau, so
right.
Maybe they should sign me. Awesome. I could just sit on the sidelines and we'll just win because of that.
All right, we need to start the ballot or the whatever the thing where people sign the signatures. Let's get going.
Yeah.
Connor, sign Connor.
Yeah.
You guys going to the Pegasus when you're down there? You guys going to the Pegasus?
I don't know. I don't know what we're doing yet.
Probably not, just because we'll be doing other
stuff. You going to Cafe de Mango?
Yeah, for a late night drink.
I love Cafe de Mango.
It's a good spot.
I was there for work last week, and we went there. They're only open two nights a week, Friday and Saturday. I stumbled drunk out of that place and wound up 2 hours late for work in the morning. We had a great time, though, man. Awesome time. Larry, the owner of Cafe de Mango, love you, man. You're awesome, dude. That place
As long as you're on time for the pot, that's fine.
Better not hope your work hears about this.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm getting too old to worry about that shit.
It's funny.
This is for all the holidays you've worked through.
All right, so I think it's gonna wrap it up for us here. On that note,
did I do that on that note? Was I?
You did that on that,
you got on that note.
Do UJ? Man. But I'm glad if that news broke, we're at least recording the pod.
Yeah. Well, hey, breaking news.
Yeah, we're scoopers.
Our pod.
Yeah,
the breaking news pod.
We're journalists.
It'll
now.
Be breaking news when everyone hears this. 12 hours.
I don't know if
later.
Like we have the breaking news. Sound effects we can put in there, but like on the desk. Anyways,
we
coming across the desk right now, Jameson Williams, the wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, suspended two games.
Son of a bitch.
For the performance-enhancing substances. Anyways, all right.
Rod just went for 200 yards next week. Great. That's cool.
Indeed. So we will wrap it up here. But before we do, we want to thank our producer, Kid J. Crushing the best pod every single
He's the best
week.
Around.
Thank you so much, Kid J. Crushing it every week. Want to thank Sideline Report, the conference, supporting the podcast. Apple, Spotify, or your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. And then, of course, follow us on social media, Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter /X at Drinking Lions. And then, of course, on YouTube, where we have most of our episodes posted up there the day after we record. That is at DTBK_Lions, or just type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. You'll find us on there. Subscribe to that channel so you get alerted anytime a new video goes up or we go live. So subscribe to that channel. We'd appreciate it greatly.
See, can I ask you a question?
You also appreciate it.
When you spell Kool-Aid, is it A-D-E or A-I-D?
Go ahead, UJ.
What are you talking about?
And when you spell Kool-Aid, is it A-D-E at the end or A-I-D?
Oh, as in lemonade or something?
Can you not answer that?
UJ. You're confusing our listeners, UJ. AID.
Well, I'm confused myself.
You're confusing Z and me.
I'm confused by the question.
Kool-Aid. K-O-L-A-D-E. Or is it AID?
AID.
I thought you were about to do a one-liner.
How long have you been doing this, bud? UJ?
I was.
Well, you know,
UJ's had one too many Wellers tonight. He's forgotten.
It's Russell's. That Weller.
Did you just come out of Cafe Domingo, UJ?
UJ thought
stumbled out.
He's trying to redeem himself for being on that note, and he wanted to make a second.
Yeah, I wanted.
He's been on that note again. You've been double on.
On that noted tonight.
Wow,
we should do a stat cast. Who's been on that note the most in the podcast?
This is a historical performance.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Red Dog's got like a 21 point lead, but you're catching up, UJ.
Whoa! What?
Hey, Connor, it's great to have you back, buddy. This is great to have you back today.
I'm definitely going
to
get on some more.
So good to have you back.
Noise.
Absolutely. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it, and we'll be back later this week. We'll release an episode on Thursday previewing the Lions hosting the Tennessee Titans. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and last but not least, as always, go. Go Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock! Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.